This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msbnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
It is time to visit with our friend Barrett Salee, CBSSports.com, and he and all of our guests joining us on the Mick Ultra Organic Seltzer Hotline. Barrett, hope you're doing well. Good news, Barrett, is Brian Snicker, Braves manager. I'll just lead off with this. He just gets signed to a contract extension through 2023. I know you're ecstatic about this.
I am. I think Brian Snicker gets so much crap from Braves fans. Like, the guy has won three straight NL East titles. He has progressively gotten better. You know, their team has gotten more of a chance and progressively moved through the playoffs every single year. It was on the brink of the World Series and lost to a much better Dodgers team last season. I mean, he's awesome. He's done such a great job. The players love him. They stick up for him. Obviously, they have a ton of respect for him. The Braves organization does. He's a lifelong Braves guy. So I love it, man. I couldn't be happier. I can't imagine why anybody would be disappointed that they got that he got an extension.
We were talking about most difficult starts for new college football coaches a little bit earlier in the show. And we pulled up Tennessee's schedule. I don't know if you know off the top of your head exactly how they open this season, but just kind of what would be acceptable and maybe what they could realistically be able to pull off early in that schedule. I'm on record, Baird, saying if they lose to Bowling Green, just go ahead and fire him and get it over with and start over again. But you've got Pitt, Tennessee Tech, and then you're at Florida after that. The good news is, you close with South Alabama and Vanderbilt. Maybe build some momentum late in the season once things are in place. But what should the expectation be, not only early in the season for Josh Heupel, but for the entire season?
A bowl game would, I think, be enough. Like you mentioned, Pitt's interesting to me because you just don't know what to expect from them coming into the SEC. And in week two, obviously, you don't know what to expect from Tennessee either. But, I think you look at what they've got at home, South Carolina and Ole Miss at home. South Carolina's easily beatable. Ole Miss, I think, will be a tougher out, but it's in Neyland, and I would imagine that it's going to be somewhat of a full crowd. And then, like you said, close with South Alabama, Vandy. I think six wins should be the expectation because there are six, I think, either surefire wins or toss-ups that are relatively attainable. And if they don't win all those, fine, but they're, I think, going to be good enough to at least bring an upset. So I think 6-6 in year one, that should be the expectation. I think at Tennessee, that should be the expectation every single year, no matter what the situation is, no matter how dysfunctional they are. And I think this year is no different. And, I think it does help that they do get Bowling Green in week one, and then their big time out of conference game is Pitt instead of somebody like Oklahoma.
Barrett, this week the Florida Gators started their spring practice, but around the league, what's some of the spring storylines that you're going to be concentrating on?
Florida's going to be interesting to see what Emory Jones does under center, because clearly he's the guy, and Trey Dean said he's throws the ball as well as Kyle Trask, but also can run it. I think that's probably a little aggressive. Just a presumption on my part, I guess, but very interested there and really interested to see how Georgia progresses. I think a lot of folks understand and know that they're going to be that chic pick. They're going to be that one that a lot of folks think will make the playoff if they have to go outside of the usual suspects. And what does JT Daniels do? Does he progress? How good can he be? Because he did, I know that he could have played, I guess, early in the season, or at least medically cleared. He wasn't medically cleared to play. I mean, he was medically cleared. He wasn't really able and physically healthy enough to play in the game until later in the season. So how does he progress from that? I think he'll grow by leaps and bounds. So there's that. And then, it seems like we say Texas A&M every single year, but Texas A&M, man, like, they were in the discussion until Selection Sunday. They're pretty solid up front. They've got a great running back in Isaiah Spiller. And the door is as open as it's going to be. And sort of like last year, Alabama's got holes, more holes this year than maybe they've had in a long time. And Just Texas A&M, watching how that team progresses, if they progress, I think is going to be a big one.
All right, Barrett, that leads me into my next question. We discussed it on the show. I want to hear it from you. So for 2021, the SEC, who has the biggest rise compared to last year? Who has the biggest drop-off compared to last year?
Who has the biggest drop-off compared to last year? Florida. I just don't think that that they're going – that defense is going to struggle. I think the offense with Emory Jones, I think, is going to be – a little disjointed. They lose so many receivers. I don't think they can withstand that. I just think Florida, to me, is they're not going to contend for the SEC East. In fact, I would say that the SEC East is going to be a runaway with Georgia taking it. So I would say Florida the biggest drop-off, because I think the expectation is now that they're going to contend for the college football playoff. And look, three straight New Year's Six bowl games is nothing to scoff at. Good for them. But I just don't think it's going to happen this year.
When you look at Georgia opening up against Clemson, what will that game ultimately decide, in your opinion, week one?
I think it's going to decide which team has zero margin for error. I think Clemson and Georgia both can withstand a loss and get to the playoff, but they can't withstand two. And I think both of those teams will be capable of making the college football playoff. So I think that's the biggest thing, is that the loser will have no margin for error. They have to run the table. I wouldn't say have to, because we don't know how the landscape will play off, but they have to. And then the winner, you know, I think will give themselves a nice buffer, because that'll be, I think, at the end of the season, a top five, top six, top seven win, somewhere along those lines. And if there is a doubt, obviously that's going to play a big role in the committee's mind. So, I think it's biggest, though, for the loser, because that leaves very little margin for error. Even if it's Georgia in the rough SEC, you're not getting in with two losses.
Barrett, we just had Phil Longo on the show last hour, and we were talking about North Carolina. Your thoughts on the ACC and who could potentially go up against Clemson toe-to-toe for that title?
North Carolina? They could be in. I mean, obviously they can meet in the ACC championship game, so they obviously have a case. I think Miami could too. You know, De'Aaron King's healthy, and you know, really all indications right now are that he's going to be okay. They've got a pretty good group of playmakers, where I think that offense can take another step forward. So I think I would pick North Carolina. Beyond that, I would say Miami, and then after that, I don't think anybody. I just can't buy Florida State at this point. Louisville and Scott Satterfield, just not buying them. Really, outside of North Carolina and Miami, I don't even really know how you can make a case for anybody else in the ACC at this point.
Barrett Salee, CBSSports.com, at Barrett Salee there on Twitter, a great follow. What about the Big 12? So we know what Oklahoma has coming back, a lot of momentum to end the season. Spencer Rattler, he found his way in that offense, but you got Sark at Texas. Everybody's talking Iowa State, Matt Campbell. Right now, you're way too early. Look at that conference, how it shapes up in 2021.
So Oklahoma is a team that can win the playoff, not just make it. I think in years past they've been able to make it, but no one really expected them to win it. I don't think any team in the country wanted to play Oklahoma at the end of last season. They absolutely figured things out. I think that defense was so good last year, and yeah, they're losing some folks, but you know, I think that they really took to Alex Grinch's system, and if they can just have an average defense, they're going to be solid and capable of winning the playoff. So I think it's going to be Oklahoma in a runaway. I'm not buying Iowa State, even though they've gotten all those dudes returning. I think Iowa State's upside is pretty limited. I'm not buying Texas until they prove it at this point. So I think Spencer Rattler, he's number one in the Heisman odds for a reason. And then you pair that with just an average defense, and Oklahoma's going to be tough to beat. So I think it's going to be the Sooners in a runaway.
That kind of brings us to another interesting practice that we had earlier this week on the show, and I'll give you ours to give you a little bit of time to think about yours. I think if I asked you who are your top six teams heading into this season, just normally we would say, oh, it's easy, I can come up with those, no problem. I think this year, once you get past three or four, it does become a little bit problematic, and we all agreed that it was a little bit more difficult task than we imagined. I went Georgia, Bama, Clemson, Oklahoma, A&M, Miami. Pat had Alabama, Georgia, Oklahoma, Clemson, Iowa State, Ohio State. Landry went Alabama, okay. Georgia, Clemson, Oklahoma, Ohio State, Miami. Interested, who your top six teams would be today heading into 2021?
Lots of Miami love. I like it. It'd be probably, oh, man. I'll go Clemson, Georgia, Alabama, Oklahoma. Man.
This is where it gets hard.
Ohio. Yeah, geez, that's tough.
So let me ask you this question, because Landrum kind of said it on accident. And then another buddy of mine that I talked to earlier in the week, you know, off the air, kind of said the same thing. Why Ohio State? Because the reasons that we got from listeners who called in about this topic, and Landrum almost accidentally said it on the show, and I've had other people say it, is because they're Ohio State. But, like, there's not a bunch of dudes that make me sit there and say, oh, that's a top five team, or that's a national championship contender. Like, I haven't seen those guys on that team yet.
Yeah, but of the teams in the country, I'll say this. Of the teams in the country that have been powers, which rank them in order of the ones you have the most faith of in plugging and playing superstar players with superstar players.
They would
Alabama
be one
would be
the,
number
would,
one.
They would be one of the top four or five. There's no doubt. But I also would anticipate that not many of those teams would get run the way that they did in the national title game last year. And then when you take that team that lost that way and then subtract the production from it along with the production that was gone early the year before, I think it's fair to ask the question of, are your numbers really as talented as they have been?
I get that. And then I would argue, okay, how much does the return of Olave and Garrett Wilson mean, you know, to the new quarterback, quarterback X, whoever it is? Because I think it would mean a lot. I don't know. I mean, I think the point, I think this is what you were trying to make, is that there really is no way to that outside of the usual suspects, there are a lot of flaws in a lot of different teams. And there's, I mean, you can make a case for Ohio State saying they can plug and play. You can make a case that they aren't going to be able to do it this year because of, like you said, a team that got run, they lost the quarterback, they lost a bunch of other dudes. You know, I just think it means that there's not very much parity at the top of, outside of the top five or six, that you would even consider Ohio State in that group.
Let me ask you an NFL question, because I know you're a huge Atlanta Falcons fan. Do the Falcons take a quarterback? And if so, do you take Trey Lance or do you go after Justin Fields?
If I'm the Falcons, I go after Justin Fields. But since I'm not the Falcons and there are other decision makers who make decisions for the Falcons, they're going to pick Trey Lance or they're going to pick Zach Wilson and continue to struggle. That's just a cynic in me. Justin Fields is going to be fine. Justin Fields is going to be a good quarterback. I don't think that he's got any issues with his game. Height, okay, doesn't bother me all that much. Trey Lance, look, project, not into it. Zach Wilson, not into it at all. Give me Justin Fields all day long.
Yeah, a lot of people speculating that maybe the Patriots eyeing a guy like Trey Lance to be their next quarterback. Obviously, issues there with the Cam Newton experiment going wrong, and Jarrett Stidham doesn't appear to be your franchise quarterbacks. And it just seems like a guy like a Trey Lance would fit that system and probably become an NFL Hall of Famer, right?
Well, that's what's going to happen, right? Like, they're going to pick Trey Lance, and suddenly he's going to become Tom Brady and play for 25 years. That's how they roll, right?
Exactly. All right, got the Braves' first spring training game coming up Sunday. I know you'll be tuned in as they take on the Tampa Bay Rays.
I wish I could say I was, but I'm going to be skiing, trying not to tear ligaments or break bones.
Wait a minute. So 2 weeks in Disney, and now you're going skiing?
Well, see, in football, there's, like, not an off season, right? So, like, I have to fit them in a tiny little window. Plus, believe it or not, the kids' spring break is next week.
Which, oh, wow.
I don't know why that's called spring break, but it's spring break.
Where are you? I mean, you probably don't want to give the location, or maybe you do. Where are you guys going skiing?
No, Telluride, Colorado. Oh, nice. See you tomorrow morning. Can't wait.
Fresh powder. Sounds
good. Follow on Instagram for a bunch of pictures at Barrett Salee.
Yeah, can't wait to see you in your chalet, hanging out, sipping a glass of wine.
Chalet.
By the fire.
Nice bottle.
Bye, Barrett.
Of
have fun. Have fun there in Colorado. Enjoy the time, and we'll talk to you soon.
See you, boys.
All right. Barrett Salee, CBSSports.com, at Barrett Salee there on Twitter on the McUltra Organic Seltzer Hotline. Zero sugar, zero carbs, only 80 calories. Try cucumber, lime, peach, pear, or spicy pineapple.
This is Three Man Front.